Good Wednesday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Got about 10 minutes left in the program. Do want to remind you that phone lines are open if you want to get involved in the conversation. 785-537-1350. Here in studio with President CEO of Big Lakes Developmental Center here in Manhattan, Lori Feldkamp. And Lori, let's just kind of continue kind of where we left off in that previous segment. We were talking about funding and really how that correlates with wait lists and staffing and all sorts of different things. I guess just real quick, looking at the legislative side, at least for Kansas, that session just wrapped up last week. Was there any big developments there for Big Lakes in that session? And I guess maybe looking ahead, what do you expect?
Well, this past year wasn't, we were watching it very closely because, of course, anybody who's been watching state news is very much aware of, I'm sorry.
Just get a little closer, okay. To Mike.
Is very much aware of the state budget issues, especially as it pertains to school finance. And so one of the things that we were watching was very closely was what was going on with school finance and how the state was going to fund that, and hopefully we could get through the session without any cuts. And we were successful in not having any cuts this year, which was really important for us because last year during the legislative session, we actually got a rate increase on our services for the first time in almost 10 years. We got a 3% increase, which isn't a lot. But it was something and something we hadn't had in nearly a decade. So that was really important for us to watch. The rates that we get are very important in correlation to how we are able to recruit and retain staff, because that's how we pay our staff is the funding that we get through the state. So all of this is very much tied together.
You were talking about in that first segment a wait list for services, and I think you were saying during break around 100 on the wait list just around here. And statewide, what was that wait list number?
I think it's 3,700, if I'm not mistaken. It's just under 4,000.
And you said that's not just a Kansas issue, but just across the nation, there's wait lists in every state.
That has really become a phenomenon in the last 20 years. I spoke earlier about how Medicaid services is what primarily funds us, and that's what they went to in the early 90s. Most states did that. Most states have gone to what they call a home and community-based service waiver system, which is paid for by Medicaid. And under that system, you can have a waiting list. In the last national publications I've seen, there's well over 30 states that have waiting lists.
When it comes to those sort of states that maybe have waiting lists, is there a correlation on those states, whether they expanded Medicaid or if they didn't? Does Medicaid expansion help a case like that? Or
Medicaid expansion doesn't have much to do with waiver services. The only way that, at least in Kansas, that waiting lists can be addressed is by additional funding that's allocated by the legislature. And we have been successful in doing that in past years, but we haven't seen that. I think the last time that I saw a waiting list allocation in the state budget was 4 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
What about at the federal level?
At the federal level, the feds provide a match for the states. So if the states pony up, it's a 60-40 match. So if the states pony up money, the federal government will match it 60%, and then that amount goes into the waiver to provide those services. So any money that's provided by the state gets that additional match.
Are they aware of this?
That's something that is an ongoing educational opportunity for us. I'm happy to say that I think all of our area legislators are well-versed on that because they know me. I'm in their office quite frequently reminding them of this. I think we can do a much better job as organizations statewide in educating our legislators about this and making it a priority. That's the key, is making it a priority.
I remember a Riley County Commission meeting a few years ago. It was a little bit different of a commission makeup at the time. I think I remember former Commissioner Bob Boyd making this statement after you've given a presentation. You were talking a lot about wait lists and those sort of things, and it still, you know, sticks with me. I remember him saying this, and considering your clients, he said, "Well, are they not citizens as well?"
This is true.
And saying that in the scope of, like, shouldn't we be looking out for these folks as well? They're citizens just like anybody else is.
Well, and again, it's a matter of educating. I think that there are a lot of assumptions made that people with disabilities are going to be taken care of, and that isn't necessarily the case. If funding is not there, if it's not present, those services can't be provided. And so the public needs to get involved and understand that this should be a priority and convey that to their legislators and help them to understand that when they are up there, they're deliberating budgets and so forth, that they need to take into consideration people with disabilities. And I'm not talking about just people with intellectual disabilities. You're talking the full range of disabilities that are out there that are underfunded and people are waiting. And unfortunately, the longer they wait, in my experience, the more services that they require. One of the things we have talked about and that I've talked with county commissioners about is that when kids get through special ed programs and they graduate to their parents' couch. And until they can start services, they lose all the skills and education that they learned while they were in school. So it takes us a while to get people back up to speed when they come into services, especially when we're looking to try and transition them into employment.
Yeah, and real quick, maybe just go over some of those. I'm sure you have plenty of success stories.
Absolutely.
At Big Lakes and the work you do and the difference it makes.
Absolutely. We have a lot of individuals that have successfully employed. I know we have well over 35 individuals that are employed in the community in competitive employment. They have jobs that just like you and I, as far as being involved in the paying taxes like everyone else. We also have work crews that we do contract work through our work center for individuals that require a little bit more support than what would be necessary in the community, but it gets them out working. And believe me, work is so important for someone's self-esteem, for their health. There are so many positives that come from getting people engaged in employment, regardless of what those employment opportunities are. And so that's why that's important to our overall mission of inclusion and integration productivity is getting them out and getting them employed if possible.
It really is kind of interesting when you think about it, a lot of social programs, especially a lot of the current talk right now. I know in the Farm Bill, when it comes to food stamps, they're trying to add in some more sort of work requirements to get some of those benefits. And it's really kind of interesting looking at it from like the Big Lakes angle, where it's like Big Lakes and those folks are needing funding so they can go out there and work. It's almost kind of like the inverse of that in so many ways.
Exactly. And it's because of their disability. They just need a little bit extra help. They need the extra support. Sometimes we're able to get people employed. They're successful and we can back off and they can do their own thing. Other people need ongoing supports, whether it's just someone coming in every once in a while, working with that employer to make sure that they stay employed. Also, if the job changes, we have some wonderful job coaches that work with our employers as well as the people that we serve, and they help retrain them. If there's a new job that needs to be done and they need to be retrained, we do that. So there's lots of opportunity for people with disabilities for getting actively engaged in employment and in their communities if the support is there. But the support requires money.
And I'm sure Big Lakes is very important for some families who have some kids who have some of these disabilities. Big Lakes is crucial.
Absolutely.
Sometimes families don't have the resources to take care of this themselves.
You know, and that's, unfortunately, again, we talked about the waiting list, and unfortunately for some parents, some of the decisions that they have to make, when they're no longer in school, someone has to be home with them because they have to have that support, and so one ends up having to resign from their job so that they can stay home to be with their adult child. And because of that, You know, when Big Lakes can provide those services, we help the family. I mean, it's tenfold what we do as far as providing those supports. So,
doing some great work. Any just last words, maybe some advice if anybody wants to help Big Lakes out in their mission.
Absolutely. We also have our Big Lakes Foundation is having a 10 and 10 fundraising campaign. So if you're interested in giving to Big Lakes, all you got to have to do is give us a call or visit our website, biglakes.org, and find out more.
Very good. Thanks so much for coming in. President and CEO of Big Lakes Developmental Center, Lori Feldkamp. If you missed any of this in Focus a little later today, it'll be on demand at newsradiokman.com. Happy Wednesday. See you Thursday.
And tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus, it's Fort Riley Day. Guests to be determined. It's 10 a.m. CBS News, followed by Clark Howard, Rush, Dan Patrick, The Game, and the Royals on the way.